Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We are truly excited every time you download the show and join us here for some fun Disney talk. It's always one of the better shows because we're kicking off the weekend. Let's get ready for a fun weekend with friends and family. Today, we have kind of a dual show. We talk about things at Walt Disney World that still amaze us after 50, 75, 100 rides on a certain attraction. For example, I talk about how the elevator in the Tower of Terror, still, when it moves vertically, horizontally across the top of the attraction there, still blows me away every single time. So we talk about things like that. And we also get into Pam's trip. She's back from Walt Disney World last week. Talks about staying at Coronado, going over to Universal, tips for using the technology that's in place right now. She's just getting you ready for your trip this spring or summer. And it's just fun to hear about the fun times she had. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. When it comes time for your next trip, drop by themagicforless.com and support the show that way. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, a huge shout out to our patrons. You're allowing us to do four shows a week here on the feed, plus you, me, and Scotty G every Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. And when you're a patron, you get an additional podcast, Mike in the Midwest, every Thursday. So thank you so much for supporting the show and allowing us to keep the magic flowing. If you'd like to become a patron yourself, just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1881 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel, where we're working hard. You know what? I have a lot of guests that like to go to Alaska in 2022. So let's hope everything's back normal because I got a lot of folks going west. It's going to be so fun. Glaciers must be popular. And I will say, I have seen the Love Boat episode where they head there, and in that episode, Isaac the bartender has a guide to Alaska, like it's some land, like it's some planet, you know, that nobody's ever heard of. He's like, "We're gonna go to Ketchikan, we're gonna go to Skagway, we're gonna go," and I'm like, "I kind of want to book a Disney cruise. I'm ready to go. Sign me up for Alaska, even though I'm kind of a tropical guy, but I'm kind of feeling that vibe." So yeah, we're working hard for our guests. And travel is, it's an exciting thing. I think a lot of folks are getting ready to get out there, and you're here for a Disney podcast. We're going to get you down to World. We're going to get you cruising. We're going to get you to your favorite places. But today we're talking Disney. Pam is back from Walt Disney World. We're going to talk about that. And I was just thinking about this on my run the other day. We're going to talk about some of the things at Walt Disney World we've probably done 50 times. But every time you do it, you're like, how's that work? Like, that's crazy that we're doing this right now. So we'll talk about that as well. So joining me, of course, from themouseforless.com, we have Ricky. Happy Friday, Ricky. What's up?
Happy Friday. It's, you know, it's the glorious time of the year. It's April and the weather is usually pretty good. And, you know, I mean, it's just, it's going to be a great weekend. I'm going to put it out there. It's going to be a great weekend.
Let's hope. I mean, it's baseball season. I mean, so I'm already in a better mood.
I mean, 100%. Yeah, it's going to be great.
All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Happy Friday, Pam.
Happy Friday. I'm so glad that we're seeing great weather here. And it's just, you know, spring, right? New beginnings. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's like such a positive time throughout the year. I love seeing, we were at the park today and saw a bunch of little kids out playing, and it just felt like, man, these are the things I've been missing. So,
Yes. And we, you know what, today is the day of recording. It's the first day I've heard the cicada. They're coming out. I mean, they're kind of loud today, and they say that this is the year they're going to be like deafening. And today was the first day I've heard them. So by the time the show publishes, it may be so loud that you hear it next Monday on the recordings.
That's hysterical.
Because they're here. Because I was out running this morning, and my good buddy Carl, he walks his dog one lap max when I run in the morning. So I go out at 5:30. He usually pops out about 6:10. Like, I know, like, if he doesn't come out by lap 17, something's wrong. Either I'm going slow too fast, or something's wrong with Carl. He comes out and he's like, he's an old guy. I love him. He's kind of an old gruff guy. He says, "Mike, feels pretty good out here." Because I laugh him like three times because he's an old dude. And this is only a quarter of a mile little loop. So, you know, first time it's always a weather comment. You know, we always talk about, "Oh, it's cold. Oh, no, it's perfect today. It's going to be a great day." And then the second time he's like, what's that noise? Is that the frogs or is that the cicada? And I think I said, I think it's the frogs. But then the more I thought about it, they've been going nonstop all day. So it was, now I feel bad. So tomorrow I got to be like, Carl, I was wrong. I'm the second or third lap after the weather. Yeah, but it was cicada. Not the first lap because that's
the
weather.
Not the first lap. You got to talk about the weather.
Everything in the world has to be, you know, you can't get things out of order.
By the way, this is such an old man thing that you have just described. Like 100%, you would think that the story came from like a 70-year-old guy. Nope, not 70.
Thank you.
So.
I'm living my best life in this old folks retirement community that I live in, apparently. No, I mean, he's a good old guy. Like, he's got little Max. He's his dog about that big, you know, and friends with Riley. All that kind of good stuff. So, yeah, anyway. All right, so let's get into the topic, because we're going to kind of do like a dual show today, because I don't think we have enough for this entire show. But one of the things I wanted to talk about, you know, we're coming up on the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World, and there's been a lot of attractions that have been there since, you know, it opened in 71. There's a lot of stuff that has come and gone. There's so many things that we ride over and over, we see as a show, or we, you know, use this transportation method, and you don't think much about it. But when you stand back and you think about it, like, it's like, God, that is really a cool thing. And one of the things I was thinking about is the Tower of Terror. Now, I don't really like this ride a whole lot. It's okay, because I'm not one that likes to buy. I would like this ride much better if it just dropped like in the old days. I'm fine with like a drop tower. But the bouncing back, again, I'm 70, apparently, Ricky says. So my 70-year-old intestines can't handle, you know, and up and down. Oh, good, somebody's turned this thing off. I'm done. You know, and it's fun because I like everything except the multiple drops, because I love the queue. I love the queue. I love the background loop. I love the lobby. I love the pre-show. I love, you know, all the lightning and getting on the elevators and all that good stuff. It's a great ride. Here's the thing, though, that still amazes me, that people don't talk about enough. The fact that in that ride, right, you're kind of like doing a drop ride. That's basically the point of it. You're going up in an elevator. But the fact that the elevator moves forward, like this elevator that lifted you, which is a common everyday kind of occurrence, all of a sudden it's going out and you're just like, whoa, whoa. And the whole thing is, I still get nervous when you go into the drop chute. Like, I'm always like, I don't know how this really works, but I just hope I'm on whatever, like a platform or something, whatever this thing pushed out into.
Whatever I'm supposed to be on, I hope that's it.
Because, I mean, I'm thinking, like, what if it was just an empty chute? Like, it's just going to, you know, there it is, game over. Like, okay, that was your ride, and that was the ride of your life, as Green Day might say. Hope you had the time of your life, because that's the end of the ride. But, it's one of those things, though. It's so cool, because it's an everyday elevator, and then all of a sudden you are moving horizontally through all these scenes, and then all of a sudden, boom, you're going down a chute again. I mean, that's crazy. Like, it's still, I know that sounds weird because everybody's like, oh, well, it's just the ride, but it's still, that is such a cool effect. So that's the one I'm going to throw in. It blows me away. We might do a couple others. So, Ricky, is there anything else like that that we do a lot, but it's still like, when you do it, it's like, this is still pretty awesome. This is great.
I mean, I think that one of the best things, and of course, you know, if you really want to dive down into it, you can figure out how they do it. But one of the coolest effects is one of the oldest effects, and it is the Haunted Mansion. Right. It is Madame Leota. You know, Madame Leota, and how they do that. And what amazes me is how they get the ball to float up and then float back down. Right. And there's not, you know, she's still in there. And like, that amazes me. And I don't, you know, I don't want it ruined. Like, I know it could be easily, I could easily figure it out. But like, I love that they do that. And it's such a cool effect. And, you know, it just floors me every time I see her just float up and float down. And it's really like, she's floating. I mean, it really does look like she's floating. It's so cool to me.
With things like this, I think what even makes it better, because like, I've ridden Tower of Terror probably 50 times. I've been on Haunted Mansion way more than that. You know, and it still does amaze me. You're exactly right. Madame Leota, the ballroom scene, you know, looking down in that. I mean, it's like, oh my gosh. Like, I know that table's real. Like, my brain just can't process it, even though I've listened to a gajillion podcasts and I know that it's a, you know, it's a trick and all that stuff. But you know, if you go to Walt Disney World, you can't be looking at it as a practical thing. You got to find the magic, right? I still believe, you know, because that's why I go. But the thing is, here's what makes things like this better. I truly believe is, like, say you're on Tower of Terror with somebody that's never been on it before, or somebody that's on Haunted Mansion that's never gone through that scene. Like, that is where it really pays off. Cause like, when somebody's on that, you know, Tower of Terror with you, you know, that sucker's going forward. And I'm still like, whoa, this is cool. Somebody that doesn't expect that, they're like, oh Lord, what's happening? You know, like somebody from, you know, like if I had relatives from Poplar Bluff, Missouri, that have never been there, you know, they'd be like, oh, you know, they'd be freaking out, and I'd love every second of it. So, Pam, what about you? I mean, what other things down there really kind of stand out? It's like, God, that's so cool.
There are so many attractions that still, I've probably ridden them 100 times, and I still really think, man, that's cool. But the latest, I think, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, I think is so cool that because the ride vehicles, you sort of start out in one position and you end up in another position. Like this time we were right behind Goofy, the train engineer. And by the way, how did Goofy get Employee of the Month? For I'm real. Just going right? to say.
Exactly.
That was a mistake.
Well, I mean, you know, here's what I say about that, because I thought the same thing. But, I mean, everybody gets a trophy, right? So they didn't want her to speak.
Right. It was sort of a pity vote. Everyone's like, they felt bad for him. But anyways, so we're right behind Goofy, and then all the cars sort of split apart. And by the end, we're not behind Goofy anymore. Yeah. There's another thing there. So this trackless system, it's lots of technology involved in it. But I think because of that, it sort of feels like a different experience each time you ride. I see different things. I hear different things. You just have a different perspective depending on how you entered the room and all of that. So, I really like that.
And Aaron in the live chat says Goofy is the only employee. So he's always employee.
That's the only way he could get it.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. Yeah. You know, with that rideless, that trackless system, maybe you just lose some cars. Like, well, I was third. Now I'm first. Oh, well, I guess they just went somewhere else. They got hit by the tornado. Okay, let's go around one more time. One other thing that's still, like, this whole attraction, and unfortunately it's not open right now because of it's a challenging experience with COVID. But it's Enchanted Tales with Belle. And there's this scene where, like in the pre-show, you know, you see all this stuff. And then you walk through the wardrobe. You walk through the magical mirror. And, I mean, it's like, it's crazy because, like, it's a transformation in front of you. And you're probably in the last decade, for sure. But it's one of those things, like, it's so, like, just jaw-dropping. Like, okay, we're going to walk through that. Like, I was just looking at that. And that was a solid piece of whatever. Also in that attraction, the interaction of like Lumiere, you know, with Belle and everything. I mean, it's just like, that's Lumiere. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, that is straight out of the movie. He is right here in the room with me. So Enchanted Tales with Belle has a lot of that, even though it's not really it's not an experience that's, you know, geared towards a 47-year-old guy. Thank goodness I had a little girl that liked it and we went to it a lot. And, you know, of course, when you're the 47-year-old dude, you're always the guy that's the guard, you know, the suit of armor, whatever. So I got to do that. But yeah, that's just one of those things that every time I see it, I'm just like, that's magic come to life. So that's what it is. All right, Pam, give us one more. What do you got?
So I think another thing that still to this day really sort of, it literally takes my breath away, is the launch at Rock and Roller Coaster.
Yes. Yes.
I still feel like I'm at the end of the attraction because it really is kind of a fast attraction. And I'm still trying to catch my breath from the launch and the, you know, the loops and everything else. But more than anything else, that it's just take your breath away, invigorating and exciting. It's not, you know, it's not scary as much as it's just really,
it's
really
fun.
Exciting.
Yeah, yeah. It's awesome. Yeah.
It gets my heart pounding every time I'm sitting there waiting for the launch to happen.
Right?
You know they're building up the anticipation because you know it's going to happen.
Yeah, right. Because I mean, here's the thing too with that. I mean, I'm going to interrupt you, but like, if you've ridden it a few times, like, you know, like how it works, right? You can feel like the train, like, lock in. You know, like you're locked into the rubber band. Like it goes.
Yes.
Right. You're like, okay. And then Steven Tyler, I can't understand him, but he's just like, I don't know if he's saying 3, 2, 1, but he's just like, and it's like, it's not even, you can't tell what he's saying, but you just know, like, between like the second and the third sound that he screams, like, okay, you're good to go.
You know where you're going. But right. Like, no, it's true. And seriously, like, I, every time I'm sitting in that space and Steven Tyler starts yelling, I always sit there and I look at whoever, well, I sit there and think, why am I on this? Why did I decide to get on this attraction and have this anticipation, nervousness just happen to me? Like, why did I do this? And it's every time. It happens every time.
But I'm always like, is he counting or is he just like, I don't know. Is he so excited? He's just going to.
road's jammed. Everybody get ready. We're going on the expressway.
I love that ride. That is a great ride. And the thing is that that's a great ride because it's short. Like if it was twice as long, I probably couldn't handle it. But it's quick. Right. It's a quick. It's a quick little shot of adrenaline. All right, Ricky, what, give us one more, then we're going to talk about Pan's Trip.
Okay, so the attraction that I'm going with, I am still amazed at how they really get this whole thing to work. And it is the American Adventure.
Right.
If you've ever seen the American Adventure, you know that there are different scenes that pop up and show and showcase different characters throughout the whole thing. And the way, like, again, if you've been in the Disney community for a while, you kind of have a general idea of how this works. And there are some backstage tours that take you and just actually see how this works. I haven't done that tour yet, but it's on my bucket list of things to do. But the way that this system works together in conjunction with each other, it absolutely floors me. I mean, and you have to think, this attraction was built when the park was built. So, you know, this isn't like a new thing that they've done, but the way that they were made to synchronize all of this, it just amazes me. And then you have like the added thing of like watching Will Rogers, you know,
I can't even do a lasso. Dude, it's an audio animatronic.
I mean, you got an audio animatronic actually Show twirling off. A lasso. Exactly. And then the handshake.
Well, hey, no, I was going to say something because you know what? That was so far ahead of its time. You got Mark Twain and Ben Franklin in the COVID-friendly handshake at the end.
That's right, exactly. So, and the fact that Ben Franklin walks up the stairs, I mean, that is really cool too. So, like, I'm just saying, the technology just completely floors me in American Adventure, and they've done such an amazing job with that attraction, and it's just. It's so great. So I'm going with the American Adventure.
And that ride is, man. Oh, it's, well, I'm just saying that ride is onions. I mean, like,
it is. That's what I was going to say. Plus, it's onions just to make me cry.
Exactly. Exactly.
I've seen it literally 100 times. And each time at some point during it, it's just, you know, I think it just makes you feel so proud of not just that we are American, but like just people as a whole, where we've come from. And such a relatively short period of time, there's been just so many advances made. So it's yeah, I agree. I love it.
I'm totally as patriotic as they come, man. I love the red, white, and blue. But the thing is, I would think that, you know, it's especially like what it gets me is when the music starts, like for Golden Dream, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna cry. Nope, here not gonna cry. Nope, and I'm just like, screw it, I'm crying because it's like, dude, I cry every time. Why fight it? It's like stifling a sneeze, you know, it's coming. And the thing is, like, even if I wasn't an American, I mean, it's hard to say this because I am, but. Like, it's humanity, right? I mean, it's like Walt Disney chasing his dream. It's like astronauts going into space. I don't care. You know, it's great that they're Americans, but I mean, if somebody from Japan went into space and, like, overcame all these challenges to get to the moon where people rallied together, I would be just as proud of them people. You know, it's one of those things. I think even though it is American-centric, that's what it's about. I think it's also the accomplishments of humanity as a whole, too.
Yeah,
so I think it's got an international audience. Okay, so we're going to talk about that on Sunday night. I just threw that in there because I want to hear about some of the stuff that's like for you. Like, whoa, that's cool. You know, even after 50 years. Okay, so Pam, talk to us about your trip. You were just down there. Let's talk resorts. You're a resort person. So where'd you stay? What'd you think? Let's talk about that.
I am. So every time we go down for a trip, you know, I think even if it's a trip that's mostly going to be vacation or leisure, it can't help to somehow turn into partially work, right? Because this is what I do. And getting to experience some of the new things and especially to check out the resort, I think is always important. I was at Coronado this time and I was just reminded once again of what a spectacular resort it is, because not only do you have three really distinct and separate areas to stay at Coronado, you have cabanas, which is sort of a tropical destination. There are hammocks, there's sand, it's by the water there. You have the casitas, which is sort of the more formal, if you will, of the areas.
More kind of Southwest United States kind of feel to it. Like
right,
lots of arches and stuff. Yeah.
It does. And it has buildings that have multiple floors too. So there's that area. And then there's the ranchos, which is really sort of dry riverbeds and, mm-hmm. and sort of, you know, what I think of as like New Mexico or something like that. Mm-hmm. There is also Grand Destino Tower, which is a completely different experience as well. This is one of the few high-rise buildings in Walt Disney World resorts. When you think about it, there are very few resorts that are over a certain, you know, height. There just aren't. There's a lot of lower buildings, even when you think about the Polynesian, the Grand Floridian, the beach, the yacht club. We're hitting at most like five stories Yes. So Grand Destino in itself is very different. It has a different feel. It just, it was a great complement to the already spectacular Coronado. Now, they had redone the rooms in all of the other areas not too long ago, and they really are beautiful rooms, especially for a moderate resort. They have a very classic feel to them. They have a high-end feel to them, a contemporary feel to them. They're updated. There's plugs where there need to be and things like that, but there are a lot of Disney touches, I think, that really make them work, too. So there's just so many things to love about Coronado. If you haven't experienced it yet, you may want to give it a try. There's great pools. You have not only the main pool, but you also have those quiet pools. So we were staying at Coronado because I wanted to experience it, see what it's like. And we just had a great time there. It's just always very relaxing for us to be there. There were lots of other things, though, that I really wanted to have the chance to do because for one reason or another, we hadn't on our past few trips. And one of those things was Everglades had opened up. And the new donut and coffee shop in Disney Springs. It's located sort of by Splitsville there, one of those areas there. So let me tell you.
Remember, I'm staying at Disney Springs Hotel for like three nights, man. This is going to be, this is like target-rich environment. Go ahead.
You're going to want to go over and be there. Yep. It does open early. It opens at, I think, 9 o'clock was the time it opened when we were there. So they have fantastic different donut flavors, like coconut mounds and peanut butter chocolate explosion. Oh, and they have seasonal ones that were available. There was like a lemon cheesecake donut, you know, that was when we were there because it was seasonal. Just so many great, great things. But I was most impressed with their coffee. The cold coffee is so good. Now, I'm a coffee person. I like coffee. I like it in the morning. I typically only drink like a cup in the morning, but I really enjoy it. It like starts my day. This coffee was so incredibly smooth and yet bold at the same time. I think that's what I enjoyed about it so much. It was a really good cup of cold coffee. So I will say, go ahead and go there. We managed to get a peanut butter chocolate coffee that had a peanut butter chocolate donut on top of it.
Shut up.
Like,
right? It's so good.
That could get me into coffee. I don't drink coffee, but I'd eat the donut off the top.
It was really, really good. And of course, the donut has Reese's peanut butter cups as well on it. So I know, right? So it was really good. But yeah, Everglades is worth going over there to see it. So it's a great location. The staff was great. We liked being there. So if you get a chance over to Disney Springs, check that out. And of course, one of the things you can do is go to Everglades, which opens early, and then head on over to Gideon's and get on that waiting list so that you can get one of those cookies, which we've talked about a few times, are really spectacular. So make sure you check that out. The other thing I was really looking forward to, again, was seeing the castle. And they've started adding some more decorations on it for the 50th, which is coming up in October of this year, for those who don't know. Not only is the castle this brilliant new color scheme, right? It just is more vibrant. It seems more rose goldy and deep purple and that. But they're starting to add swag, like banners in different areas.
A little bunting. A little Instagram bunting is what I like to call it.
Yes, it is. And it looks great. It really does. When the sun hits that castle, there is something about it. Like, it's like car paint, sort of. You know how car paint sort of sparkles? It sort of is like that, right? It feels very luminescent or whatnot.
I like that.
It's like back in the day, the old Bondi Blue IMAX. that used to look so pretty. God, I wish I had one of those. I have one of those in my old classroom. Go ahead, sorry.
No, but it's good. It's beautiful. This, and I love what they're adding to it. Of course, we saw lots of cavalcades. You cannot help but see cavalcades. You cannot help it. You can't. Like, people are like, do I need to do anything special? Nope.
No.
Turn your head.
Because yeah, sure. They're coming. Yes, I know. And of course, when we were there, they were, they released like these different ears. The ears had bands all the time. Well, when we were there, what got released was the pastel rainbow ears, which are so, so pretty. But whenever you're going, what are your dates? Yes, on your dates, they will have some kind of ears that are the hot ears for that time. So make sure you stop by. The cast members are great at helping you, you know, try to figure out what's the newest, the best, whatever. But buy whatever, you know, makes your heart happy.
Exactly. I'm an old dude. I just buy the this is my style here for the folks watching the video. Tried and true.
There you go.
The ones from like 1970.
I know, right? So we did our plan for our Hollywood Studios day, just to help everyone out. We tried to get Rise of Resistance. We did. And so when we got into the parks first thing that morning, we headed right for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. Now, if I were you, I would either do that or Slinky Dog, because those are the ones that really tend to get the bigger lines, and then head to the other one. And then go on and do Tower Terror or Rock and Roll Coaster or whatever else may have a ride until you're called for your boarding pass. And that worked great for us. We literally had such a short wait to get on Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. So that's a bonus. We did, you know, just about everything in Hollywood Studios. That's sort of the cool thing about waiting for your boarding pass to be called, is you do all the things. In fact, we even did Muppets. And we haven't done it for the past couple trips. I don't know why, it just, you know, wasn't on the radar. I still like it. I can't help but like the Muppets or something.
It stands up. It does.
It does. It's awesome. It really does. And at some point they'll change it and that will be okay. I just don't want it to go away.
Nope.
So I hope that they'll do something different. Of course we played Toy Story Midway Mania, another attraction that doesn't get a lot of, like, people aren't running there first thing in the morning, right? Mm-hmm. But still, the repeat rides on that, I always see something different. I always enjoy it. It's, you know, it's really a good thing. And of course we did Rise, which is just spectacular.
I miss that ride. I do like, remember when that was the hotness, man? That was it.
Yes,
that was Rise of the Resistance back in the day. We've been doing the show so long.
That was Rise of the Resistance back in the day. You're not wrong.
No.
Going on at Epcot, of course, is the Flower and Garden Festival, which runs, by the way, until July 5th.
Right. If you remember, the 4th and the 5th at the Freedom Festival. I'm just saying, we renamed it Freedom Festival.
Yes, this is true.
You weren't here. That's right. You weren't here.
That's right. She wasn't. Then literally 10 days later, by the way, they're kicking off with Food and Wine
Festival. I know.
Not a joke. Like, it literally kicks off July 15th. And I called that, by the way. I was like, they're going to do it in the middle of July. It's literally going to be festivals every single day of the year.
They did last year. It's when they opened the park again. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And Flower and Garden, I say this all the time, but it makes Epcot even more beautiful. It just is stunning. And some of the food choices at the Flower and Garden booth this year, incredible. We ordered this avocado toast at one of the booths. This booth is actually by Test Track. And it looked like a work of art. There were flowers on it. It was just spectacular. But something else that was at that booth was a Fruit Loops milkshake.
Okay. First of all, you're like a millennial ordering avocado toast, right? Or whatever, the meme. But I mean, now you're speaking to my... Dude, you're right to go into my heart right here with a Fruit Loop shake. I mean, I love some Fruit Loops and I love my Chick-fil-A shakes.
I know. This was Hannah. Hannah was like, we have to get this Fruit Loop shake. It looks so cool. And I was like, okay, whatever.
Whatever.
So anyway.
Oh, man.
So we got it. It was blue. It has Fruit Loops on the top. So it tasted just like Fruit Loops. It legit.
Yes.
It was. Toucan it was really
Sam
good.
Sam salute.
Really, and Mike's making a beeline to the Fruit Loops right. stand.
Wait, where is this? Real quick, because I am going to get
it. It's
that
right by Test Track.
Okay, amen.
I forget the name of the actual just booth, but it's that, yeah.
Look for Toucan that, Sam's beak, right? Follow the nose.
Yeah, exactly.
So follow your nose. And get the avocado toast, too, because it was really good. But anyways, yes, that. And then at the end of the night, we spent some time with Spaceship Earth and that beautiful new fountain. Like, literally, that looks spectacular. And by the way, they're adding things to Spaceship Earth for the 50th that are going to make it even more beautiful. So that new fountain, it just is so retro and so reminds me of when Epcot first opened up that it's just cool, really and truly. And one of the other things you don't want to miss at Flower and Garden is that you get to see really cool things like Winnie the Pooh trying to catch butterflies in between the Imagination Pavilion and the land. And what's funny is when we were standing there watching him for a while, it looked he had a net out and he was like trying to catch butterflies. And it looked like at one point he caught one and then he was like, oh, dang, now what do I do? Luckily, the butterfly was on the outside of the net, so that eventually flew away. But Pooh looked like he was like,
PETA was coming for Pooh.
Right? That's what I was worried about. Something would have happened to poor Pooh and that. But anyways, let's see. What else did we do? You know, one of the things I'm going to just remind people is that dining is a little different than it used to be. First of all, if you have specific table service restaurants that you want to eat at, make sure that you go ahead and try to make them as soon as you can, because it is a little different. And be open to some of the other restaurants that you may not have enjoyed in the past. You may find your new favorite location. So just remember that. Become familiar with mobile ordering. Read one of the blogs or watch one of the YouTube videos, just so you're comfortable with it. One of the things that I saw that was a challenge for people was that after you do the mobile ordering, you have to be near the restaurant and you click the button that says, I'm here, prepare my order. If you don't do that, they're not going to make your food.
You're going to get really hungry. Like,
right.
Really hungry because they're never going to make your food.
And many of the restaurants, too, are not letting you in until you can actually show that your mobile order is ready. They're doing that to keep everyone socially distant and not have so many folks sitting in the restaurant. So couple things there to do that. I'll also say that on this trip, we went to Universal, and I talked about this on Monday, but Universal is doing a nighttime show, and it was just the perfect way to end our day there. It really was. The Cinematic Celebration, it's a water screen show, and they show lots of clips from the different movies, and they do have fireworks, so it felt good just to do that. And I can't wait until Disney has something like that available, too. Really and truly, I do. One of the new things at Universal is that at City Walk, to dine at one of those restaurants, you do have to have a reservation. Mm-hmm. That was a change that they made. They need to have a better idea of who's coming and all of that to do that. And the other thing we did at Universal is we went to Volcano Bay, which is their water park. Now, you can buy a three-day, three-park ticket or however many days and have three parks and have Volcano Bay be one of the parks that you go to. I can't recommend this water park enough. First of all, it's beautiful.
It is. I mean, I got to admit it, dude. Volcano Bay was awesome.
Right?
Yes.
Yes. And with Tapu Tapu, they give you sort of a band that you wear throughout the day there because you do not have to stand in lines. You sort of tap in and you get a return time. So it's sort of like a fast pass type system for those who are familiar with Disney. You can use your Tapu Tapu to pay. You can also do things like tap different things in the water park where they're and they'll squirt water, like maybe people riding on the lazy river below you or things like that. So it's really a very cool thing. The other thing about this water park is you do not carry tubes around all day.
No.
I cannot tell you how much that is a part of every other water park
in
the world.
But I mean, if you think about it, it's like CrossFit. You know, it's like you get a little workout.
I'm a tiny woman. I can't carry a giant tube all around. I'm gonna be perfectly honest. I literally make Brian carry it because I'm like, I can't walk with this. Like, it's too big.
It's smart. It's a guest experience thing. It's really nice.
It really is. And so that's the beauty. If you're staying at one of the Universal, one of their three legacy resorts or their premier resorts, and that would be Royal Pacific, Hard Rock, or Portofino, you actually have express pass to almost every attraction there, which means you walk on to like everything. And so that gives you time to go do the attractions and then spend some time at Volcano Bay or back at your resort pool. The Universal experience and Disney have very, you know, they're very similar in some ways. And then there are some things that they're very different about too, but they both, it's not like you can only like one or the other. I really, truly enjoy both so much, equally, really and truly, I do. There's things I love about it. So.
It's like chocolate and peanut butter. I like both. But when I go to Orlando and I can go to both together, it makes it a great trip.
I agree. I totally agree. I really enjoy the experience. And the other thing that is coming soon is their newest coaster, VelociCoaster, is coming. It is in the Jurassic Park section of Islands of Adventure. And it has been testing, you know, off and on for months and months. But when we were there, we saw people, there were actually people on it. Team members were on it getting to experience it. And I can't tell you enough about how exciting this attraction is. First of all, it is a long coaster. It's not like Rock and Roller Coaster. We were talking about Rock and Roller Coaster. No, it's not under a minute. There are so many different things. It launches you, you're upside down, there's a section that's sort of over the water where it sort of does this twist and you're hanging over the water upside down for a period of time.
It's your free hair wash. Get a little shampoo and conditioner.
Right? I know. So it's really an awesome attraction. And even though you do have inversions and loops, there is not an over the shoulder harness. It is a lap.
Oh,
that sounds this thing. I am not. Ricky already said I'm 70. I am not riding this thing either. I'm going to get eaten by a dinosaur, dropped in a lake, whatever. No,
I know, right? It just looks spectacular. I'm really excited about it. Universal is doing some awesome things. I mean, it's sort of like the last coaster they opened was the Hagrid's coaster, and it's an experience. It really is. It's not just a coaster. It's not just a thrill ride. It's really an experience. And this is going to be the same kind of thing. So the thing that Universal has done so well lately was they really are putting you in the story. You feel like you're in the story. Like when you walk in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, you feel like you're there. That's what these attractions are doing too. So it's definitely worth checking out. They're different experiences. They're handling things differently. Universal doesn't require park reservations right now. If you're staying at one of the resorts, even if the parks do reach capacity, you do get preferred access to enter the parks as soon as they're able to enter some people in. And they have a really good idea about who's going to be in the parks each day. They sell date-based tickets. And they stop selling them when they reach a certain point. So all those things make for great experience. They're both great theme parks. The Disney parks and the Universal parks are both great. Check them both out the next time you're there.
Two questions for you before we get out of here, because we only have a few minutes left. But you were down there while a couple of things kind of happened on the technology side of things, which I'm really excited about. We've talked about a lot on the Sunday night shows. We haven't spoken about it too much here because we don't have firsthand experience. Obviously, Ricky wrote a blog. I saw about this Magic Mobile. So you're an Apple Watch user, an iPhone user. Did you try this system where you basically turn your iOS device and soon coming to Android? But did you turn that into a Magic Band? And what were your feelings on that kind of first take?
Yes. So there was that, and we did do that. We used it. It worked great. It was easy to set up, not challenging at all. It's within the app. You can actually go there. First of all, make sure your app is up to date, and that's always important. Before you go, you're going to want to make sure that you've updated your app.
And also your operating system on both your watch and your phone. That's a good tip.
Yes, that's critical. Once you sign into your app, there is actually on the My Plans page, there's a place for you to go ahead and set that up. You're going to want to do that before you go. You actually add it to your wallet on the phone, and that's how it sort of works on the watch too. So we use that, and we also use the facial recognition.
Yep.
Yes. So we did that as well. It was only working at the Magic Kingdom. They only had it set up there. And we did do that. So we'll see what happens. But you, even using the facial recognition technology, you don't take off your mask. So it's just your eyes and I guess the shape of your face and whatnot. So yeah. We did that. So lots of technology things that they're, that Disney is really rolling out. And it's great to see, really and truly.
I'm just worried when I look into things, it's like, like it's gonna be like a like ugly or not kind of thing. Like you're coming in just for the pretty people.
Yes, I know. My phone doesn't recognize you. I always say, oh my gosh, I must be looking rough today because my phone's like not unlocking when it sees my face. Right?
The whole thing is too, I mean, and I've been doing this through this whole pandemic. Like, because I've been down to Walt Disney World twice now and I'll be down again. Like I always smile for pictures even though I got a stupid mask on.
Right. Like, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody sees. It's just, but Mallory swears. Here's her thing because she's been with me. She's always like, you smile with your eyes too. Like, you can
do.
See it.
She's correct.
Like,
yes. Yes.
Very, very true.
But I cheese up. Very this is true. Good. All right. Well, hey.
She's a smart girl.
She is. She's a smart girl. Too smart for her own good sometimes, I think. It's yes. Not good. All right. Well, hey, Pam, thanks for sharing that. We appreciate it because it's going to help a lot of folks heading down here soon.
Good. I was happy to, really and truly. And I just want to say, to answer all the questions, because people always say, is it the same? No, it is not. Yeah. It's not the same, but it's not different in a bad way. It's just different.
Right. I mean, going to the Blues game, go to the Cardinals game right now. Not the same. I mean, you know, right. You're not high-fiving because you're not having somebody awesome. Next to you, some stranger, but it's a lot better than sitting at home.
Yeah, that's true.
So, all right. Well, hey, that's going to do it for today's show. Hopefully you got some fun out of Pam's trip there, some tips to help you have a better trip here soon. And don't forget the Magic for Less, the agents over there, they go down frequently. They're Disney experts. They're going to help you plan that trip. They're going to say, hey, think about this. You know, this is going to be a little different than last time, but doesn't mean it's going to be, you know, any worse or any better. It's just going to be different. And the whole thing is, we know this about life in general. Like you just want to know what you want to have a plan. You want to know what to expect. You want to put yourself in the best possible situation. That's what these tips are going to do. That's what these agents help you out on your next trip. So just check them out over at the Magic for Less. All the specials are there. I love the resort guides. I talk about those all the time because I'm a resort person. I just like looking at the layouts of Pop Century. I like looking at Coronado Springs, Caribbean Beach, the Yacht Club. I love that stuff. So if you want to get planning, that's your first step. MagicForLess.com. Fill out the quote form while you're there. Put in some dates, resorts, guest names, and we'll get right back to you right away. And, you know, maybe you'll go, maybe you won't, but at least you'll know what's available and what price. So, again, check them out over at TheMagicForLess.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link, BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Thanks to everybody who supports our show that way. And a huge shout-out to our patrons. You guys are allowing us to do 4 shows a week here on the feed and you, me, and Scotty G every Sunday night. That cracks me up every time. So if you'd like to become a patron, you get another podcast every Thursday called Mike in the Midwest. That's always a lot of fun as well. So just visit patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Join us this Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. Scott's with me. We talk about the news of the week. So, Ricky, make sure you write all that stuff up on the Mouse for Less. That's our show notes. And then we talk about it. We'll be talking about all this stuff. And this Sunday night, we'll be talking about what are those things at Walt Disney World that still... Like, you're like, ah, that's awesome. I'm like riding rock and roller coasters, right? It is. I totally. I'm with you. Like, I'm on that thing like, oh, here we go. What am I doing? It's awesome. I mean, it's why we go. So we'll talk about that on Sunday night. Anything else that's on your mind. But I just want to stop and say thank you for listening to our show. We have a good time. I hope you always tell that when Pam, Ricky, and I get together here on Wednesdays and Fridays, when Scott jumps in, you know, and we have guests on Mondays, we have fun with this. I mean, we do this because we've been doing it for a long time, but we have a good time doing this. And I hope you always kind of get some fun out of this as well. Hopefully, you know, sometime soon we can sit down at Pecos Bills or sit down at Columbia Harbor House or hang out over at Sunshine Seasons and get to meet you and just kind of share stories. We've done that with so many listeners of the show, and that is one of the best things. And as we get through this pandemic, I'm really, really looking forward to that. Anyway, we're going to get out of here and hope you have a great weekend until we get back together on Sunday night. For Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike. Wishing you a great weekend. Whatever you do, stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.